the time is right. The Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. He was going to send the Messiah, so he revealed through several prophets the kind of Messiah he was going to send. Through Daniel, he revealed the time. And Paul recognized that Jesus Christ came in the fullness of the time. The time is described in detail in the book of Daniel. Part number one, the time is here. When John the Baptist came to proclaim the coming of the Messiah, he says, he is here now. After John had been jailed, Jesus preached the gospel, and his opening sermons contained the idea that time is fulfilled. The gospel message, as given by the Savior himself, was based on the prophecies. The time which he declared to be fulfilled was the period made known by the angel Gabriel to Daniel. That time had to come in its fullness, Paul declared to the Galatian church. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to come at the right time. There's an interesting sentence by Ellen White, Desire of Ages, page 32, that I think of a great deal these days. Like the stars in the vast circuit of their appointed path, God's purposes know no haste and no delay. Some people don't believe that. They seem to know when Christ should have come, and so they say he's delaying his coming. But God's purposes know no haste and no delay. That was true of Christ's first coming. That is true of Christ's second coming. There were prophecies that had declared social conditions when Christ would come the first time. When the world was destitute of the knowledge of God, Jesus came to impart this inestimable blessing, a knowledge of the paternal character of our Heavenly Father. This was his own gift to our world, and this gift he committed to his disciples to be communicated by them to the world. So when the world was destitute of knowledge, Jesus came to give the kind of knowledge they needed. Today, the world is destitute of knowledge also. We talk about an explosion of knowledge, of all kinds of trivial, useless stuff. But the knowledge of the soon coming Savior, the world is destitute of. Part number two, Daniel's prayer for grace. In the ninth chapter of Daniel, we learn wonderful things about this prophet. He didn't understand. So he studied the books. He studied Deuteronomy very closely. We get echoes of it in his prayer. Isaiah, Jeremiah, the Psalms, of what God predicted would be done. And so he prayed. 70 years were just about to end. He had heard about 2,300 a long time in the future. He didn't know what it was. And so he decided to pray. Although the Lord had promised deliverance to his people at the time appointed, Daniel knew of the conditional nature of many of God's promises. He may have feared that the impenitence of his people might postpone the fulfillment of the promise. And so he prayed. He knew that God would do in response to our prayers what he would not do when we do not pray. God was great. God was dreadful, full of majesty and power. But God was also full of mercy. So he claimed the promises, he claimed the mercy, he claimed the love of God. He repented, he confessed his sins. He did his best to confess the sins of the fathers. and he saw that God would bless his temple, his city, and his land, and return his people, and so he prayed specifically for the temple, for the city, for the land, and for the people. He was concerned, deeply concerned. He says, I was sick certain days. Part number three, God responded. Wonderfully. While he was yet speaking, the angel was sent. The angel that took the place of Satan when he was cast out of heaven. The angel that stands next to Messiah the Prince. The angel that has been the messenger to bring a knowledge of salvation in every age came to the aged Daniel to explain to him what God was going to do. Before they call, the promise is, I will answer. Even though they had sinned, as soon as they called, God was ready to answer. There are kings, evil kings, who have been threatened by death and immediately repented. And before the prophet pastor had gone 25 yards, the Spirit said, go back, tell him before, because he repented, he would hear from heaven and forgive. And this is exactly what had happened to Daniel. As soon as he prayed, the Lord answered and gave him assurance that his prayer had been heard. Part number four, the prophetic timetable. The prediction, mini vision, in fulfillment of the promise to give understanding concerning the 2300 days that Gabriel brought to Daniel, is one of the most amazing prophecies found in the Bible. Amazing. The 70 weeks of years, as the Revised Standard Version puts it, were to be cut off from the 2300 days. Now, how do we know that? The last two verses of Daniel 8 speak about the vision. And the Hebrew word there is mareh. It's different from the word used for vision in the rest of Daniel 8 that describes the ram and the he-goat and the horns. And in the last two verses of Daniel 8, the mareh is definitely linked to the 2300 evenings and mornings. It's called the mareh. And the chapter 8 ends with, nobody understood the mareh. When Daniel comes to pray for light, and Gabriel is sent to him, the first words that Gabriel tells Daniel is, understand the mareh. None had understood it at the end of chapter 8. Now Gabriel was to give an understanding of the mareh, the 2300 days, to Daniel. And he starts out by saying that 70 weeks of years, that is 490 years, are cut off from the mareh, from the 2300 years. And that you were to start counting, he tells Daniel, from the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. This commandment, according to Ezra, was promulgated in the fall of 457 B.C. Therefore, starting from the fall of 457 B.C., Daniel was to begin counting 490 years that were set apart, allocated, decided upon for thy people. So these 490 years were specifically geared to the Jewish people. Then he broke this 490 year period into three segments. 7 weeks of years, 63 weeks of years, and 1 week of years. The first 7 weeks of years, or 49 years, were to be occupied with the immediate answer to Daniel's prayer. The people were to be returned to Palestine, the land was to be cultivated again, the city was to be restored, the temple was to be rebuilt. And all this took place in that period, or should have taken place in that first period. Then, another 63 weeks of years were to extend from that point to 27 AD, when the Prince Messiah was to come. Messiah means the Anointed One, and Prince is the son of a king. So the son of a king was to be anointed in 27 AD. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit anointed him, and the Father said, "This is my Son, he is my Prince." The Holy Spirit anointed him to be Messiah, which in Greek is Christ, and the Father identified him as his Son. So Daniel's prediction for his people, for the coming of Messiah the Prince, was exactly fulfilled. In 27 AD, Jesus was inaugurated as the Messiah by the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the identification of his Father, and began his public ministry. This ministry was to accomplish 7 acts through 6 verbs. We get this in Daniel 9:24. He was to finish transgression. He was put an end to sin offerings. By the way, in both Hebrew and Greek, sin and sin offering are the same word. So the first thing he was to do was to end transgression. Second sin, he was to abolish sin offerings. Third, he was to make reconciliation between God and the Father for all iniquities. He was to bring in everlasting righteousness. He was to seal up the vision. That is, the ministry of Christ would set the seal to the vision by fulfilling it in such a mathematical, in such an amazing detail. And then he was to seal up the prophet that had been predicted by Moses a millennium and a half earlier. "A prophet will the Lord your God raise up." He set the seal on the prophet. And the seventh thing, he was to anoint the most holy place. And when he ascended up on high and was anointed by the Holy Spirit, the drops fell down on the day of Pentecost onto the waiting people. The sanctuary in heaven, its most holy place, was anointed or set apart for the special ministry of Christ as priest and high priest. Now, what he was to do here during this final week was to confirm or ratify the covenant that was made. Now, every covenant was ratified by blood. In order to ratify the everlasting covenant, Jesus Christ needed blood. In order to get blood, he needed to be crucified. So in the upper room, he holds up the cup and he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." So by Calvary's death, he confirmed the everlasting covenant. He caused the sacrifice and the oblation. Sacrifice is a technical term for bloody, oblation for non-bloody offerings. Bloody and non-bloody offerings would cease, and he would be cut off, but not for himself, for the errors of the people. So the ministry of Jesus Christ in this amazing prophecy was fulfilled in perfect detail. Jesus Christ died at the Passover, the spring of AD 31, in the middle of the last week of years, exactly as had been predicted. And 3.5 years later, at the stoning of Stephen, probation ended for the Jewish people. The members of the Sanhedrin, representative of the nation, put their fingers in their ears, refused to hear any more, and destroyed the messenger. The 490-year probation ended for the Jewish people. So impressed were the rabbis with the truth of Daniel 9. They must have been pushed by Christian apologists over and over again to accept Jesus the Messiah. So much were they disgusted with this that the Talmud records a curse. Cursed be the bones of the fingers of the hand of the man that turns the pages of Daniel to study the time. Amazing obstinacy in rejecting this marvelous prophecy. Part number 6. Christ urged upon the disciples the importance of prophetic study, referring to the prophecy given to Daniel in regard to their time. Whoso readeth, let him understand. As the message of Christ's first advent announced the kingdom of grace, so the message of his second advent announces the kingdom of glory. And the second message, like the first, is based on prophecy. The Jews misinterpreted, misapplied the word of God. They knew not the time of their visitation. Earthly ambition absorbed them. Offer of spiritual kingdom came to them in vain. So today, the kingdom of this world absorbs men's thoughts. They take no note of the rapidly fulfilling prophecies and the tokens of the swift coming kingdom of God. We should pray that we not make the mistake that was made by his own people 19 centuries ago.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.